Will you be in the spirit of prayer with me? Amen. Billy Graham and I don't have a lot in common, but we, Dan and I, on one of our road trips, got to stop and see his library and the home where he grew up. They moved it to where his library is in North Carolina, and it's where he raised his children. He and his wife raised their children. And one of my favorite Christian groups growing up was a Christian rap group called DC Talk. And one of their songs opened with a clip from a sermon that Billy Graham had given. And Billy Graham said, "Can you see God? Have you ever seen God? I've never seen God. I know God exists. I've never seen the wind. Have you ever seen the wind? I see the effects of the wind, but I've never seen the wind. There's a mystery to it. A mystery indeed." Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the town office, or as Aaron likes to call it, City Hall, and I was registering our Jeep, and Donna was there, and she introduced me. Another man from town came in, and this man has seen Bigfoot. You all know who I'm talking about, probably. I don't remember his name, but Donna would remind me. Anyway, the three of us actually had a really long and wonderful conversation. And it led us to the conclusion that the more we are open to an experience, the more likely we are to have that experience. You know, when you're looking for something, you're more likely to find it. Well, I have zero desire to see Bigfoot. I do not need that in my life. So I'm not looking for evidence, and the evidence like he finds on a regular basis. And I have never seen Bigfoot, and I'm really okay with that. I'm okay with it being a mystery in my life that can stay hidden. But I do have a strong desire to see God. And so many things that other people interpret as coincidence or kismet or serendipity, I see as God incidents, as moments when the Holy Spirit is active in our world, guiding us, protecting us, the effects of God, if you will. Now, some people believe in angels, and they believe these moments to be actions of the messengers of God. We all interpret them in different ways. But one name for these experiences is miracles. I watched a video a few years ago, and then again recently, of a man who was interviewing atheists, people who do not believe in any kind of higher power. What is here, and when it's gone, it's gone. He showed them a book filled with color pictures and descriptions of the wonders of creation, plants and flowers, animals and birds, water and mountains. And then he asked each of them a series of questions. He said, "Do you believe that the colors in this book, blue, red, yellow, green, do you think they just appeared on the paper? Do you think that the letters fell in black ink from the sky and organized themselves into words and phrases? Did the page numbers just pop up on the page? Did the pages put themselves together in the right order, binding themselves into a book? And yet, aren't all of these things represented in this book, the plants and animals and nature, so much more complex than a book?" isn't it possible that there is one responsible for creating all of those things? Isn't it just possible that creation is just too complex, too intricate, too interdependent, too full of pattern and beauty for it all to be just chance? For it all to have come from chaos and just fallen together. And it at least got those people thinking. And it got me thinking too. I know many people who simply don't believe in miracles, that Jesus didn't actually walk on water or make blind people see again with just a touch, or in one story, some spit and some dirt. Thomas Jefferson rewrote the Bible, cutting out the miracles. He literally took a knife and cut the stories out from the Bible of the miracles. He took out the resurrection and the ascension. You can read it online. They've got it on the Smithsonian website. They've scanned it in there. It's pretty cool. But it was a way for him to grapple with his own personal struggles with Christianity. The founding fathers had questions too. For people like Thomas Jefferson, they either find the miracle stories extraneous or unnecessary, or they interpret the miracles as simply metaphors. That we can be blind to the needs and pain of other people, and that Jesus' teachings help enlighten us, right? To open our eyes, to see that pain, to gain sight where we didn't have it before. I'm very much in the both and camp. I believe in physical miracles, and I believe that Jesus' teachings are also about spiritual growth and human understanding. But perhaps that's because I've experienced miracles in my life, because I chose to interpret events in my life as God acting in my life, because sometimes there simply wasn't any logical or scientific explanation for what happened. And the more I look for miracles, the more I find them, big and small. My mom reminded me of a miracle that happened in our family. When my brother was born, I was 5 years old, and we were living in New Mexico. And he was born with a hematoma the size of a grapefruit on his head, which meant that his head was basically twice its normal size. And the doctors did what they could for a couple weeks, and my mom, we were stationed in New Mexico, so all of our family was back in Maine. She had nobody. It was my father, her, my brother, and I, and that was it. And we didn't really go to the chapel on base, but she went to the chapel, and she talked to the chaplain, and she said, "My baby needs our prayers." And she called her mother, and she said, "Mom, you need to tell the church, my baby needs your prayers." And for a couple weeks, it went on like this. And the doctors, the poor doctor, I really feel for him now that I'm an adult, because he was at a loss. He was powerless. And my brother wore a hat. He had to wear a hat all the time to protect his head. And he wasn't allowed to cry. And I don't know if you've ever tried to keep a newborn from crying. Whoa, that was a big job. So at 5 years old, I was a help for my mom. My mom brought my brother in for one of his regular appointments, and the doctor, she said, was almost to the brink of tears, and he said, there's really nothing we can do except wait. And my mother took the hat off my brother's head, and the hematoma was completely gone. And the doctor had no explanation, and all he could do was write in my brother's medical records that he was healed by prayer. Now, we could look at that as a coincidence. We could look at it as time, as his body reabsorbing the fluids that had been left underneath the skin and between his skin and his skull. And I'm sure that all those things happened. But for me, It was God guiding his body, made his body so wonderfully that it knew what to do and how to heal this small, helpless child. There are miracles, big and small, in our lives. The more I look for God, the more I find God in the most mysterious and surprising places. You see, if young Jeremiah had not been listening for God's voice, he might never have heard it. My Hebrew Bible professor, I giggle because her name was Anne, and she was a nun at a congregational seminary. But she always said that the miracle in the story of the burning bush and Moses was not that the bush was on fire. It was that Moses noticed it. There were always spontaneous brush fires happening in the wilderness, but Moses noticed that this bush was special because it wasn't being consumed by the fire. Moses was paying attention, and he got to see a miracle. If the crippled woman had not been persistent in coming to the temple for 18 years, determined to get her blessing, to get her healing, willing to come when Jesus said, "Come over here," she might have continued on being bent over until the day she died. What would have happened if she had decided to skip church that day and stay home? What would have happened if she had finally given up on God? She might have missed her miracle. And we never know how miracles will operate in our lives. We don't know if we'll get the healing we desire. We don't know if we'll get the job that we've been working so hard to get, that we really deserve, that we've earned. We don't know if our relationships will be healed in the ways we want them to. We don't know if our loved ones will be kept safe. We don't know if we will be freed from worry and regret and addiction and abuse. And when we're in the midst of our trouble and our grief, it is hard to see God. And it's nearly impossible to hear God's voice. So what happens when disaster strikes? When we ask the question, why didn't I get my miracle? Can we still find God in the crisis? You know, Jeremiah's miracle did not bring him an easy life. In fact, his life was very difficult because he did listen to God and he had to deliver the bad news to Israel. It was not good news. He was not a popular guy because he had the job of telling them that they would be overrun by their enemies and they were going to be exiled and kicked out of their land. And when people saw him coming, I'm sure they would turn the other way because they didn't want to hear again how their selfishness and their greed and their idolatry were causing so many of their troubles. But on the other hand, the woman who was healed was set free from more than just her physical ailment. Jesus set her free to be welcomed back into society. As long as she was bent over, as long as she was sick, she was unclean and unwelcome. He set her free to dance and walk and work and jump. He set her free to find joy and to praise God. We all know how hard it is to praise God when we are literally and figuratively bent over from the pressures and the burdens that this life can bring. And we know what a relief, what a release it can be when those burdens are lifted. So we must look for the small miracles as well as the big ones. We're invited to be grateful for the small blessings, which are always there, but so easy to miss. Can we be thankful for the monarch caterpillars when our friend is suffering in a hospital bed? Sometimes the answer is no. And so we need a friend to come alongside us to remind us the blessings are there. I will hold them for you. Sometimes that friend is the miracle that we so desperately need. Someone to listen, someone to just be in silence with us, someone to brush our hair or put lotion on our hands, or sit with us in a boat with a fishing rod. Oh, yeah. Can we rejoice in a rainbow when the storm that passed just crashed a tree through our roof and we can't afford to repair it? Maybe not. But we can rejoice in the promise of friends who might be able to help us fill out the insurance paperwork, or they've got some shingles hanging out in their barn, or they can get on that roof with you. Maybe they could be your rainbow. We can see God in each other, in nature, and in the most mysterious place of all, in ourselves. Everyone has their own kind of miracles, their own understanding of God and spirituality. But the truth, well, there is truth in the knowledge that there are blessings all around if we but open our eyes. So let us sing our faith together, our prayer that God would open our eyes to the need in the world, to the truth in the Word, to the miracles that surround us. Let us sing our prayer that our eyes might be open to see and recognize God in our midst. Our hymn of proclamation, "Open My Eyes That I May See," 454.